and to indeed pay tribute to them. And we generally do that here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so we're going to do that this morning. I'm going to ask our moms, anyone who's here this morning that is a mom, please come up front. We have something that we'd like to give you. Even if you're a visitor, don't be shy. Just go ahead, come on up, join us up front here. We have something that we would like to give you. Part of it is probably not good for you, but that's part of honoring and paying tribute, right? We give you some sweets, some chocolate bars, but we also have something that we made for you, and we want you to enjoy it. There's a little description, explanation on it. I need a couple of children to come up here and help distribute the stuff that's in the basket. Ezra is always quick. Leah, come on up. So grab that basket and let's get those things distributed to our moms. Let them pick their own chocolate bar, by the way, because they might not like a Butterfinger or a Kit Kat. All right? It's always a blessing to take time out and to say thank you to our moms and thank you to those individuals who are raising our children and doing a fabulous job of reminding them of their need for Jesus and to help them grow in their walk and relationship with Christ. And you know what? It doesn't end when the kids leave the house. Some of the time, your kids come back to your house, and so you get to keep doing it with them in the house, even after they've grown up. But sometimes it's from a distance. And you know what? A mom's heart is never far from their children, no matter how many miles separate them. When we lived in South Africa, we were thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away from home, but our moms were always bringing us before the throne, always remembering us and supporting us. And so we are very grateful for our moms and all that they do to our and with our children. The gift they're getting, by the way, is it's a wooden butter knife. And you might say, well, why a wooden butter knife? There's a little thing on there that says, research has shown, let's use that phrase, that if you use a wooden butter knife, the butter stays on the knife. You know, like if you take something out of the toaster and you get a scoop of butter and you put it on your bread and the knife gets hot and then you go to get the next scoop of butter, what happens? It falls off. Well, the wooden butter knives, it doesn't do that. And we can tell you that's true because we use them in our house and we've made them for other people as well. So the different kinds of wood, if you got one that's got two different colors of wood in it, it's maple and cherry. If you got one that's just one color and it's reddish in color, it's cherry. If it's not so red, it's probably red oak for whatever reason. But those are made for your honor and for your glory. Paul, I'm going to ask you if you would pray for our moms this morning. We got a mic for Paul. Here we go.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gracious and grateful hearts today, Lord, as we look at these ladies here who are moms, who have given so much to take care of children and to raise a family. Lord, we also acknowledge the fact that for us husbands, that it's our wives that help us through all our life. And sometimes as we get older, we become their second family of kids. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for the love and the care and all the work that they've put into it. Lord, truly, truly, it was a gift that you gave man to be beside us and to work with us and to guide us and to be a partner with us in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the miracles that they perform with the children and the late nights and the sicknesses and illnesses that they've nursed the children through. And then even as they get older, to provide that advice and, Lord, even take care of the grandkids. So, Lord, we just can't say thank you enough for these ladies and the wonderful deeds that they've done in your name, Lord. And we ask you to continue to bless them throughout their lives and throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, before they leave to return to their seats, how about a nice big round of applause for all of our moms? All right, ladies, you may return to your seats. Just a small tribute. I'm sure that many of you will be blessed throughout the rest of the day by your children. All right. Very good. So let's carry on now. Take your Bibles, if you will. We're going to look at a couple of different passages of Scripture, not just one particular. We're going to be kind of going back from one text to another. But as we think about our moms this morning and celebrate them and honor them and pay tribute to them, don't, if you're here this morning and you're not a mom, don't say, oh, he's not preaching for me this morning, because actually we are. We're going to talk to you about how you treat your moms, and then we're going to also spend some time thinking about good examples of mom from the pages of Scripture. And let me also say that just because these are tributes that refer to our moms, they can also be and should be true of all of us as well. Just maybe a little more demonstrated in our moms as they specifically deal with our children. Let me start off with a couple of things that might set the tone for the day, if you will. It catches the spirit of motherhood. Johnny was in math class and the teacher said, Johnny, suppose there are 7 of you in your family, 5 children and mom and dad. A total of 7. Suppose there was a pie for dessert. What fraction of the pie would you get? Johnny answered, 1/6. What do you mean? Asked the teacher. Don't you know fractions? Johnny replied, I know about fractions, and I know about my mom too. Mom would say she didn't want any. So instead of dividing by 7, you only have to divide by 6. Seriously, though, it seems that mothers are natural givers. Let me tell you a story that exemplifies a mother's tendency to give. In early March of a particular year, several tornadoes ripped through south central Indiana. Very quickly, accounts of great acts of courage began to emerge. Perhaps the most notable is that of Stephanie Decker. With the tornado approaching quickly, Decker ushered her children down into the basement of their family home. Before the first tornado struck, Stephanie had wrapped her 2 kids in a comforter and laid on top of them to protect them from whatever was about to happen. The first tornado struck and ravaged their family home, but in the process dropped heavy debris on top of her, causing severe injury to Decker's legs, breaking 7 ribs and puncturing a lung. The second tornado hit, battering her body that was covering her kids with debris from the demolished house. After the second tornado passed, the sky opened up and pelted her with golf ball-sized hail. Decker felt as though her life was about to come to an end. However, help quickly arrived, and Decker's life was spared. Stephanie lost part of both of her legs and has endured a number of surgeries, but in spite of that, she repeatedly says all she wanted to do was save her children, regardless of what happened to her. Stories like this have kind of trickled down through the ages in history. They just kind of make themselves known to us, reminding us of the kind of sacrificial love that seems to be inherent to many moms. Moms really seem to be givers, especially when it comes to their kids. I mean, we can all probably tell stories about things that our moms have done for us. When we were in South Africa, my mom, she'd write a letter, and it would take days and days in the week or more to get to us. What do you want for Christmas, or what do you want for your birthday? And I would always, you know, things that you couldn't get in South Africa, but you could only get them here. And so I would make a list, and the kids would make a list for Christmas. And sure enough, a box would arrive sometimes before Christmas, not always, with all of the goodies that we wanted to have that we couldn't get in South Africa. Barb's mom and dad heard one time that we were struggling to get a car. So they sent money to our account and basically bought a car for us. Then they came to visit. They said, can we ride in our car? Sure, why not? You want to drive it? No, it's on the other side of the road. You drive it. So anyway, moms are just like that. They do those kinds of things to show their love and to show their support for their kids, no matter where you are. All around the world, moms are celebrating their kids wherever God has placed them and sent them. So it's because of that kind of nature and character of our moms that in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed into law a declaration proclaiming that the second Sunday in May would be set aside every year called Mother's Day to honor our moms. And I think, you know, kudos to President Wilson. What a great thing that he did signing that into law. Well, as we think about our moms this morning and from a biblical perspective, let's talk about some of the habits of a godly mom. What is it that sets a godly mom apart from all other moms? You know, our habits tend to define us, don't they? The things that we do regularly, the things that we enjoy doing, they kind of mark us for who we are. Well, there's some things that mark godly moms as well. Unless you think that only moms will benefit from today's sermon, these habits that we're going to talk about, we would do well to emulate them no matter whether you're a mom or just a lady or a dad or just a man or whatever, whoever you are this morning, these habits will be good for you to put into practice in your life as well. As I said, we're going to jump around. So if you can keep up with me, keep up with me. If not, just sit back and relax and enjoy. We're not going to have the text on the screen this morning, but you'll have them in your notes, I believe. Isaiah chapter 66 is where we're going to start this morning. Mothers are a source of comfort. All right. Have you ever been comforted by your mom? Has she ever come alongside of you and put her arms around you and given you that hug that only a mom can give? Patted you on the back, patted you on the head, maybe if you're younger. Moms are a source of comfort. Isaiah says this, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." The fact that moms are a source of comfort is so natural that Isaiah uses it as an illustration of how God comforts Israel, how God comforts his children. Now, you might think, well, why is God set out Israel? Why does Isaiah specifically say Israel? You got to remember in the Old Testament that Israel were the people that God was working through. They were, and in fact still are, his chosen people. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget that Israel is still the apple of God's eye. And at some point in time, God will reassume a relationship with Israel. Right now, we're living in this period called the church age, and God's focus and attention is on us, the church, those people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ from the day of Pentecost all the way to the rapture of the church. We call this people the church, the universal church, and those of us who are here this morning who know Jesus as our Savior, we're part of that, and then we're also part of this local body called Calvary Baptist Church of Preble. So right now, though, God is working with the church. In the future, he will begin to work again with the people of Israel. Now, Isaiah writes, he's prophesying different things to the people of Israel, and he reminds them that as a mother comforts her children, God will comfort you. Isn't it great to know that God comforts those who follow him, those who love him, those who serve him? And his comfort is complete comfort. It's great comfort. The fact that moms are a source of comfort is just important for us to be reminded, and that's one of the habits that moms have. Moms come alongside of you, and they know when, like, my mom will look at me, she said, "What's the matter with you?" "Nothing." "No, tell me the truth. What's the matter with you?" They know that. It's like a sixth sense for mom. They just kind of can tell. And so she finally gets it out of you. What is it? And then she has a way of comforting you like only a mom can. So think about those times with me this morning when your mom was your source of comfort. Whether your mom is still with you or not, there are things, and I always encourage people at funerals to have these memories that they keep in their mind, to pull them out when they need encouragement. So even if your mom's not with you this morning, think about those times when she comforted you like only she could do. She was that one who loved you and wrapped her arms around you and whatever it was that she did that could comfort you like nobody else. Those are great times of encouragement in special ways. Maybe it was a basketball game or a hockey game that you lost. Maybe it was a championship game and you're like, "Oh, my whole life depends on this game and we lost." And mom always reminded you, "It's only a game. There's going to be a lot more difficult things in life that you'll have to face. Don't let this game ruin your day or ruin your week or year or whatever. Not only did mom offer words of comfort, but she did things that she offered acts of comfort, things that nobody else would do. I remember as a very young hockey player, before we had indoor rinks, we had to play outside. Yep, that's how old I am. We played outside, all right? And it was cold. I grew up in Messina, so it was cold in Messina. You know, not cold like today's cold where you don't hardly see below freezing anymore. We got below zero. And you know what? Messina was a hockey town, so we didn't cancel games just because it was cold. We played. And I remember playing one game, and my feet were so cold. At the end of the game, I didn't even take my skates off. I put my skate guards on. I walked to the car, and my uncle brought me home. We got home, and we took off my skates, and oh my goodness, I couldn't feel my toes. They were just frozen. They were frozen. They literally were so cold. And so my mom starts with my socks on. She starts rubbing my feet to get the circulation going. And then when it was kind of warming up, she would take the sock off and she would keep rubbing my foot. Who else is going to do that? You just got done playing hockey. Your feet are sweaty and stinky and not nice. And yet she's there rubbing them. And I'm crying. My feet hurt. And she says, it's okay, it's okay. And she's rubbing it, and the feeling starts to come back, and it starts to warm up. And my uncle, on the other hand, don't stop your crying. I'm going to take you out and put your feet in a snowbank. And my mom is like, no, you're not. Moms do things. They show their love in ways that are very, very real and very, very tangible. Perhaps it was a time when you lost that boyfriend or girlfriend that you thought, oh, this is the one. I'm going to marry this person. And they just broke your heart. Who was the one who comforted you? Your mom. She said, it'll be okay. There's lots of fish in the sea. Well, I'm not looking for fish. You knew what she meant. No matter the difficulties in life, no matter how bad they might seem at the moment, mom was a comforter. Mom was there to help you through those difficult times. Listen to this account from R.A. Torrey and the comfort that he gained from the words that were true about his mom. When Dr. R.A. Torrey was a young man, he had no faith in God or in the Bible. His mother, however, was a devout Christian who constantly prayed for his conversion and often witnessed to him. One day he said to her, I don't want to hear about my sins or your prayers. I'm going to leave and not bother you anymore. With tear-filled eyes, the woman followed him to the gate and pleaded with him to change his mind. But he would not be detained. Frantically, she cried, Son, you're going the wrong way. But when you come to the end of your way and everything seems hopeless, call upon your mother's Jesus with all your heart, and he will surely help you. After Torrey left home, he went deeper into his ways of sin. One night in a hotel room, he was unable to sleep. Weary from the problems pressing in on every hand, he decided to take his own life. When the words of his mother came flooding into his mind, convicted by the Holy Spirit, he fell to his knees and cried out, O God of my mother, if there is such a being, I need your help. Can you identify with that? Yeah. You've heard Scott's testimony, right? He was in a spot similar to that. O God of my mother, if there is such a being, I need your help. If you will give it to me, I'll follow you. In a moment, his darkened heart was illumined and peace filled his soul. Later, R.A. Torrey became an outstanding evangelist who led thousands to Christ. His mother's God was real and became his God. Are you discouraged because of your children or your teenagers not interested in the things of the Lord? Keep praying for them. Don't stop. Keep loving them. live a consistent Christian life before them, and never underestimate the power of your parental witness and the power of prayer. Makes a difference. So moms are comforters. We also see in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. Take a moment to look there. This is an amazing passage. Scripture talks about the incredible woman of God that Solomon knew and he wrote about in Proverbs chapter 31. First three verses of Proverbs 31 remind us that a mom is a counselor and a teacher. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, it says this: "The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him." His mother did what to him? His mother taught him. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Advice for the wisest man who ever lived from his mother." It makes sense that a mom who is the teacher or the one who gives the most counsel, because the mom is the one who spends the most time of the day with her children. It's imperative that mom, you be a good teacher. But not just a good teacher, but a teacher who gives godly counsel. If you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see that it was considered a joint effort between dad and mom to teach the children and to raise them up in a way that would honor God, a way that would lead them to following after the ways of God. But you know who that bulk of that responsibility fell upon? Was the mom, because she was home during the day. How many of you grew up hearing the words, "You wait till your father gets home"? You didn't want that to happen, right? So you were generally changed your attitude and your behavior when those words came out of your mom's mouth. She was home. She dealt with you to the best of her abilities and continued to do that as you were growing up. Moms, don't forget the importance of teaching your children from God's word. Winston Churchill paid this tribute to his mom. He said, there was a London editor submitted a list of people to Churchill who had been Churchill's teachers. Churchill returned the list with this comment: "You omitted to mention the greatest of all my teachers, my mom." Wow. You know, we know Winston Churchill as a unforgettable, let's use that word, unforgettable orator. Not everything Winston Churchill said was worth repeating, but he had some pretty good lines, all right? But Winston Churchill said to this London Times editor, "Hey, you left out the most important teacher in my life, and that was my mother." Many of us would probably echo those sentiments. My mom was my greatest teacher. Let me share with you some examples of great teachers from the Word of God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, we read this from the pages of Scripture. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. We see that moms are to be and are in fact great teachers. "And then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and a certain disciple was there named Timothy." Not a bad name, but anyway, his name was Timothy, "the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek, also an unbeliever. He was well spoken of, Timothy, by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in the region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." But you know what? Timothy's mother was a great lady of God, a great woman who believed. And if we go on throughout the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, we find these words about Timothy's mother. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 5, he says, "To Timothy, my beloved son." Paul is writing to Timothy, calls him a beloved son because he had the privilege of discipling him and mentoring him. He said, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is now in you, young Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded is in you as well." Paul knew that Timothy was trained by two godly women. And those two godly women were first his mom and second his grandma. Wow. Moms, you have an important role to play in the lives of your children, but grandmas, it's just as important for you to play that kind of a role in your children. We all love our grandchildren, don't we? And what's the best way to show how much we love them? By sharing Jesus with them, by helping them to become followers of the one true God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul goes on and he says, "And that from a childhood, you, Timothy, have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Why did he know the holy scriptures? Because his mom and his grandma taught the scriptures to him and helped him see his need of putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There are scriptures that remind us that moms are teachers, and the most important thing you can teach your children is to love Jesus. There's also testimonies of others about how mom influenced them. Susanna Wesley, you might remember, you might recognize that name. The Wesley brothers, what are they famous for? What are they known for? Well, they were a couple of brothers who God used. If you take the hymn book that's in your chairs in front of you and just look up the authors of different hymns, you'll find the name Wesley over and over and over again as great hymn writers. They were instrumental in starting the Wesleyan church. And they were men of God. They wrote, and we read their writings today. Susanna Wesley gave birth to 19 children. Whew, that's a lot of kids, all right? 19 children. She spent 1 hour each day praying for them. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters with him or her. No wonder John and Charles were used of God to bring blessings around the world. That's a testimony that lives on today. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, and had four sons, and all of them were preachers. Someone once came into a drawing room, and all of the family was there. They thought they would see what Howard, one of the sons, was made of. So they asked him this question. This is G. Campbell Morgan's brother. "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" Howard had a great admiration for his father, and he looked straight across the room at him, and then without moment's hesitation, he answered, "Mother." Have you ever been preached at by your mom? That's pretty powerful. When mom tells you what to do, you usually pay attention, you usually take heed. Before I went to college, my mom took my Bible. It's on the shelf now. I don't use it very much. She took my Bible and she underlined several verses that gave godly instruction and encouragement. She told me that when things were going wrong, take your Bible and look up those verses. Read those verses. And you know what? It helped. Because she had found that those verses were helpful in her life, and she believed that they would be helpful in my life as well. So again, I want you to think about your mom for a moment. Think about the things that you have learned from your mom. Perhaps she taught you a lesson similar to the one of President Eisenhower. Here's another story about a great mom. A person was interviewing Eisenhower, and the conversation went like this. "Mr. President, you have known every great man of our time. Who is the greatest man you ever met?" And without an instant's hesitation, he said, "The greatest person I have ever met wasn't a man. It was a woman. It was my mother. She never had much schooling, but she was wise in God's wisdom. She went to school in the greatest of all the books, the Bible. And she acquired real wisdom." "She went to school in the greatest of all the books, the Bible, and she acquired real wisdom." He said, "Once when I was a boy, my brothers and I were playing a game with my mother. The game was cards." Not regular playing cards, because she was too straight-laced for that. "But a hand of cards was dealt, and I remember this night, mother dealt me an utterly impossible hand. And I began to complain about it. She said, 'Boys, put your cards down. I want to tell you something, especially you, Dwight. You are playing a game in your home with your mother under loving circumstances. We all love each other here, and I have dealt you a bad hand. Now, when you get out in life where you don't see that love and you don't have much encouragement, you're going to be dealt many a bad hand. What do you do? You are to pray to God, you are to trust God, and like a man, you are to play out that hand that was dealt to you. We could use more of that kind of advice around our world today, couldn't we? And Dwight Eisenhower said, that is one of the wisest things I ever learned from my mother as I was growing up. You get a bad hand dealt with you? Deal with it! But what was the thing that led up to dealing with it? Pray. Pray to God. Trust God. Seek His wisdom. Seek His counsel. And then you can deal with it. Let me also tell you this. A godly mom is a committed prayer. A committed prayer. She's one who prays for you all the time. Hannah in the scriptures is an example of a prayer. You know the story, right? Hannah was married to Elkanah, the priest. They would go up every year to Jerusalem to worship. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and another wife. The other wife had children. Hannah didn't have any. The other wife would pick on Hannah because she didn't have any. So that's the problem with having more than one wife, right? Hannah wanted a child in the worst way. You have to remember that in those days, to have a child was seen as a blessing from God. To not have children, was like almost a chastisement from God. Not the case in Hannah's life. And she prayed every year. They would go up and she would pray and she would ask God for a child. One day she was at the temple and she was praying and her mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out of her mouth. And the high priest came over to her and said, "Woman, you should be ashamed of yourself." "Why? There's no place for a drunken woman in a temple of God." "Oh no, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring out my heart before God." He says, "Well, what is your request?" That God would give me a son. And she promised God, "If you give me a son, God, I'll give him back to you." And the high priest, Eli, said, "Go home, trust God, he'll answer your prayer." Guess what? 9 months later, she had a baby. Boy. They were supposed to go up to Jerusalem to worship. It was that time of year. And Hannah said, no, the child is not weaned yet. When I wean the child, I will bring him up and be with you. So she weaned the child and she went up and she went back to Eli, the priest, and she said, "Hey, my Lord, this is the child that God has given me and I'm giving him back to God." And Samuel went on to be a priest and a prophet and a judge, a great man of God, man that God used to bring Israel back to somewhat of a right relationship with him. Hannah prayed for Samuel to be born. Hannah prayed for Samuel after he was born, thanking God. You can go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and you can read her praise to God for granting him to her. It's an amazing prayer. And just a prayer of thanksgiving. And then when she took him up to Jerusalem, she prayed as she gave him back to the Lord for service in the temple. And you know what? I'm sure there wasn't a day that went by in Hannah's life that she didn't pray for her son as he served the Lord there with Eli in the temple. Moms are often prayers. I've shared with you that I know my mom prayed for us often when we were in South Africa. Let me read the words to a song by the Geddes for you that kind of demonstrates this idea of moms being prayers. "Before you close your eyes to sleep, I have a promise still to keep. As I hold you in my arms, I pray your little frame grows strong and that faith takes hold while you are young. This is my prayer for you. Hold my hand, I'll teach you the way to go. Through the joys, through the tears, the journeys of these years, may you trust him till the end. May you trust him till the end." This world is not as it should be, but the Savior opens eyes to see. And that's beautiful and true. Oh, may his light fill you, fill all you are, and the jewel of wisdom crown your heart. This is my prayer for you. Hold my hand, I'll teach you the way to go. Through the joys and through the tears, the journey of these years, he is with us till the end. He is faithful to the end. You'll travel where my arms won't reach, as the road will rise to lead your feet on a journey of your own. May my mistakes not hinder you, but his grace remains and guides you through. This is my prayer for you. Take his hand and go where he calls you to go. And whatever comes, seek him with all your heart. This will be my prayer for you. Father, hear my ceaseless prayer. Oh, keep them in your care. If you're a mom here this morning and you have children, wherever they might be, I'm sure that very few days go by, if any, that you don't bring them before the throne of our great God for his watch care, for his blessing, for his direction, and for his guidance. Moms are committed prayers for their children. So all of this being true, what is the way that you and I, that how can we honor our moms? Well, let's take a moment to look at the honor due our moms. We find this in a couple of different passages throughout Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 is the first passage of Scripture that I want to read to you. Ephesians chapter 6, you can open there as well. You know this passage of Scripture, right? Paul spends chapter 5 and chapter 6 talking about how the relationship in the home should unfold and what it should look like. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, and I don't plug your ears, okay, kids? Any of you that are still in here, not in children's church, listen what it says here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here's the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Over in Exodus chapter 20, we read this from the pen of the man named Moses. Exodus chapter 20, way back, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Moses is giving to us the Ten Commandments. You know what it says there, right? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where Moses recounts the law and tells the people of Israel what God expects from them. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, he's reminding them of these Ten Commandments. He says it again, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That phrase, honor your father and your mother, it's the Greek phrase tamao mater. And it means to honor, give honor to the one who honor is due. Colin Brown explains it this way. If a woman is called a mater, mother, she has a certain social position of honor. This word means to prize, to revere, or to consider of great value. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, this is said three times in Scripture, right? If it's said that many times, what should we do? Pay attention, listen, practice it, do it. So you and I need to value or honor our moms. Am I giving honor to my mom? There are two aspects to this idea of honor. There's a negative aspect, and then there's a positive aspect. The Bible gives us examples of both. We'll take a look at them here. What's the negative way or the negative aspect of honoring our moms? Well, it's actually, if you disrespect her and fail to show honor, it's a problem. So maybe you're here this morning as a young person or and as an older person. There's no age limit on this, okay? So I think when we used to come back from Africa and we would spend time with Barb's mom and dad, we'd live in their house. I mean, we have a daughter living with us right now and she's not old, but she's certainly not young either. But we were like in our 40s, in 50s, still living in her mom's basement. Wow, that's pretty, you know, it was only for a short period of time. And obviously we couldn't buy a house while we were in the States for, less than a year. But we, in my mom's house, she didn't have a basement we could live in. So we lived, like, we had a room next to her room. And then Rachel actually stayed in her room on a cot. So when we would get, and she went to bed early, okay? So when we would get home at 10 or 11 o'clock, I'd say to the kids before we got out of the van, shh, you gotta be quiet. Grandma's already asleep. Don't make a lot of noise. That was a way of honoring her. She was going to get up the next morning and go work. Work hard all day long. So you want to make sure, honor your parents, honor your mom. Give her that position of value and let her see that in your life. You see, to disrespect your mom is to fail to show honor. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Shame to his mother. That's a bad thing, to bring shame to your mother. To bring shame, we should do our very best to prevent anything that will shame our mom or her reputation. The fact that she was considered to be a God-honoring woman who loved Jesus. When Solomon says that it brings shame to his mother, he's saying that if you're causing her to be disappointed or ashamed, it has the idea of embarrassing her. Our moms have a goal. Christian moms have a goal in life to raise their children in accordance with God's word. If the child disobeys mom, it brings shame upon her. And it would be a shameful thing for a child to do that. That's the negative aspect. Another negative aspect is seen in Deuteronomy 27, where it says, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. Cursed. Now, can I tell you this? In the Old Testament, you didn't want to be cursed. It was not good for you to be a cursed person in the Old Testament. To dishonor or your father or your mother was a direct breaking of the fifth commandment that we've already read twice. To break that commandment brought disrespect, and it showed you to be a cursed individual. We won't talk about what happened to those children who were breaking that commandment. It wasn't pleasant. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and chapter 6, verse 20 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. My son, keep your father's command and do not, he repeats it, do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, my mom, she was all 5 foot tall, okay, and weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. I had a brother, still do, who was a big guy. Now, he wasn't really tall, but he just was big, okay? And he didn't, and there were times in his life that he didn't think he had to listen to my mom, who's 5 foot tall. I remember times when my mom chased my brother around the parking lot. We grew up in government housing, chased him around the parking lot with a wiffle ball bat because he didn't obey. He did something wrong. You know what? My mom was fast for a little lady. And my brother, because he was big, not so fast. So every step he took, whack, he got a wiffle ball bat across his backside. Whack, whack. Yeah, she'd get in trouble for that today. Not back then, because children were supposed to obey or they got a spanking. You can determine whether that's what you're going to do with that, but that's the way it was. And that's what the Bible says, by the way, either as well. Spare the rod, spoil the child, okay? You know, God gave us a backside with lots of padding for a reason. So it could be spanked when needed, not abused. I am certainly not in any way advocating that. but if needed, some correction, some discipline. When you broke the law of your mother at our house, there was going to be some consequences to that. Let's flip the switch. Let's talk about the positive. How do we dignify mom? We don't want to disrespect her. Rather, we want to dignify her. Ephesians chapter 1, we've read this a couple of times already. Any of the young people want to tell me what that verse says? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. What does it say? Fill in the blank. Children, obey your parents. See, they know it, right? They got it. They understand what they're supposed to do. Why do you do that? Well, because it will be well with you. It's a statement of honoring your parents. When you obey them, you are honoring. And by the way, can I tell you this? Paul doesn't say, if you want to obey your children, you can do that. You should do that. He says, children, obey your parents. It's not an option. It's a command. God expects obedience from the children, and he expects it to come with an attitude that brings honor with the action. So we heed our mom's advice and counsel as a command from God. And then the next word, you might not get it, it's hallow. You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, what's the first word in the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be your name. What does that word mean? It means to give reverence. It means to give respect. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 and 31, verse 28 says this, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother, but it should be this way, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. This statement here, hallowed, means to give great respect or the highest esteem to your mom because of the position God has given her in your life. We hallow her. We respect her. We don't worship her because we're only supposed to worship one, right? And that's God. But we give her great honor and esteem. In fact, the next thing is seen in honoring her. In John chapter 19, we read this. When Jesus, you know the picture here. John 19 is laid in the Gospel of John. What's happening in John 19? The crucifixion, okay? So Jesus is hanging on a cross. Right? It's the worst day in his life. You can imagine it. He's already been beaten, and now he's on the cross, and he's hanging there to die. And who's on his mind? Us. But you know who else is on his mind? His mom. Verse 26 says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus set a great example here of honoring his mother. He's hanging on the cross, all of the pain that you can imagine, and then some. But one of the concerns he has is for his mom, and he wants to make sure that after he is gone, from our perspective, that somebody is looking out for his mom. He's concerned for his mother's well-being. So he says to his disciple, the one whom he loved, or at least the disciple described himself that way, he says, behold your mother. Take care of this woman. She's my mother. I love her. I want you to care for her as if she were your own mother. And the scripture says he did that. What a great relationship. You and I need to honor our moms in the same way. To care for them as to the best of our ability. Well, here we are in this Mother's Day morning. We've looked at the marks of a godly mom and what our response should be towards our moms. And there's some here this morning thinking, well, this really doesn't apply to me because my mom's not a Christian. Mm-mm. That's right. Doesn't matter. There's a good chance that your mom did some of these things anyway because that's the way moms are. Moms care for their kids. Moms love their kids. Perhaps by honoring your mom this morning, if your mom's not a Christian, she will see in you the love that you have for God and for her, and you'll be able to talk to her about Jesus and maybe even have the privilege of leading her to Christ. Usually it's the other way around. Usually moms lead their kids to Christ. I remember that day very well in my life. Sitting in the chair, it was a summer day. I would have much rather have been outside playing baseball, but I had heard something in Sunday school that I needed to deal with. At the age of 5 or 6, my Sunday school teacher talked to us about the gospel. And I knew that I wasn't saved. And so after church, I sat down and I asked my mom, what does it mean to be saved? I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. How do I make sure that that's true for me? And she clearly explained to me the gospel and led me to Christ on that day. Usually that's the way it is. But sometimes kids have the privilege of leading their mom or their dad to Christ. What a thrill that is. What a blessing that is. One of my goals this morning is to encourage moms by showing the godly heritage that moms have had throughout history. You know what? You've heard me talk about some stories that are true stories about important people, significant people in the history of America. I'm going to say this. I think it's true. America would not be the place that it is today if it weren't for godly moms. You wouldn't be who you are today if it weren't for a godly mom, perhaps in your life. And so moms, this morning I want to encourage you to be a godly mom. You can help shape the future not of your only of your child, but of those that your child will have the privilege of impacting throughout the course of life. So one of my goals is to encourage moms by showing the history and the heritage of godly moms. And if God can enable moms in the past to be godly and to be honored, I am absolutely convinced that he can do that today. And so my prayer for you is that you will be that kind of godly mom who impacts the lives of those around you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again so much for the pages of Scripture. Father, we've looked at a lot of Scripture this morning. We've looked at a lot of stories about godly men of great people in the past. Father, if you could do that then, we know that you can do that now. I pray today for each mom who is here. Thank you for Paul's prayer earlier in our service, reminding us of the significance of the role that moms play in our lives. But Lord, I want to echo that prayer now. After we've listened to your word this morning, we've heard some truths that remind us of the significance of godly moms. Help each one of our moms here this morning to be a godly mom to her children. Of course, that starts with a relationship with you. So if there's any here that don't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that first you would help them to see their need of salvation, and that then you would help them to grow in their walk with you. Thank you again for our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.